you have made a mistake and put her in an environment where she's making decisions based on other decision points, but that was your mistake, and you will always bear that burden until she decides that she has made a mistake or does not decide that.
I was 11 years old when my father decided to set himself on fire in Ottawa. It was a move inspired by pure desperation, but not an unusual one. Our family was used to the idea of extreme measures like this. I may have been young, but I was accustomed to the idea of death, war, and rage. My story began long before I was born. A man and a woman married in Iran. Through their journey, they would hit turning points that would affect not only them, but us as well. I was only a toddler when mom and dad packed up their lives and left the country in mayhem, in search of a new and better life in Canada. Little did my father know that from the moment we left Iran, he would be swept up in something much bigger than him, a tornado strong enough to swallow up our whole family, only to dash it against the rocks, leaving each one of us battered and bruised. When I was one, we left for Turkey with the dream of heading abroad to Canada, where life would become easier and better for us. Based on the story my father told me, when we arrived in Turkey, we found a place to stay with the help of a gentleman. He also helped us get refugee status in Canada. In Turkey, my dad was befriended by members of Mujahideen Khalq organization. Both my uncle and my aunt fought for this organization and even died for them. I was a passive observer for years, a silent witness. I grew up with the vocabulary of a family involved with a cult.
یه سین دیگه اضافه کردیم بهش گذاشیم سین سرنگونی رژیم آخوندی.
With blind faith, I looked up at my parents. the two people that are supposed to know everything. Only later did I realize that grown-ups can be fooled too. That even parents can be so skillfully manipulated that they send their children off to a place where hope is stripped from them and life loses all meaning, a place where death seems like a rosy alternative to life. This is my story, the story of a family caught up in the bowels of Mujahideen Khalq organization, a group which in my experience is nothing more than a cult. Thirty years ago, the MKO started using armed combat against Iran, and because Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was at war with Iran, he gave them a base on Iraqi soil. In exchange, the MKO fought on Iraq's side, which was kind of what they wanted to do anyway. And this is how the story of families like us began. The next 18 months paved the way for what awaited us in Canada. Members of the MKO approached us. Befriending my dad, they took us into their circle, invited us to their gatherings, and showed us MKO videos. My father slowly developed a sort of sympathy for the group. It seemed everything was working out the way Dad had hoped. Everything was falling into place.
اینم از سرمای کانادا که الان 20 درجه زیر صفر. اینم از این.
We were taken to the airport and sent off to meet our destiny in Canada. But although this all seemed great, my father was once again approached by the MKO. I was just 3 when we moved to Canada. I was like any child of that age. I would go where my parents would take me, observe everything that surrounded me, and accepted everything without question. While trying to get settled in this new world, my dad was looking for work. MKO members living in Canada came to us in the friendliest of manner. Even an outside observer would never have realized what their true intentions were.
نزدیک واشنگتن دی سی هستیم. از تورنتو اومدیم. تو بینیم واشنگتن دی سی. فرودگاه دالاس ایرپورت.
I remember trips I would take with the family to Washington. There was a big house that belonged to the MKO. In it, people would gather to do paperwork, fundraising, and labor for the expansion and recognition of the organization.
We fell into their circle and were invited to become part of their society.
Dad found jobs as construction worker. While the MKO put him to work as well, he became a driver, taking members wherever they needed to go, for rallies or for gathering donations from strangers in the streets of the U.S. Our little community of MKO sympathizers stuck close together. Birthday parties and family picnics were held. It was all very casual. But from a very young age, I was introduced to the cause. I was introduced to the concept of armed combat and a place far away in a country called Iraq, where the real MKO fighters marched defiantly under the flag. Slowly but surely, we became full-fledged MKO supporters. Dad was promoted from driver to money gatherer and event organizer. My parents would walk the streets of Washington along with other sympathizers, telling people negative stories about Iran to gather money. Whoever managed to gather more sympathy money from people in the street was held in high esteem and praised by the higher-ups as true MKO members. Caught up in this false sense of purpose, my father worked hard to make the most money for the MKO. To boost revenues, he started taking my sister Somaya along with him. A father and a child showing pictures of death and despair on the other side of the world easily touched people's hearts. They set the bar higher and higher for themselves. One day, they decided to accept no less than $500 from the next person. And that they did.
سازمان به ما یاد داده بود که نشون بدیم که مثلا یه سری بچه‌هایی هستن.
MKO had instructed us to say that Ayatollah Khomeini had executed some people, and this money was being raised for their kids who are still living there.
و این بچه‌ها رو که به سر ما همراه خودمون می‌بردیم اون خانواده خارجی به ما اعتماد می‌کرد و به ما کمک مالی خوبی می‌کردن.
When we took these kids with us, non-Iranian families put their trust in us and helped us a lot. At times, they even offered us rice and oil, but we asked them for money instead, since money was easier to send. This is how it was done. We took our kids with us, and MKO benefited a lot from it.
Protests were held in different places. One was Washington, D.C. Families like us were flown out to Washington more than once and put up in fancy hotels in exchange for our thundering voices and knotted fists when protests were held. It was like a holiday. At least, that's how us kids saw it. In many ways, our lives were normal. School, work, bills, and the mortgage. I grew up doing things an ordinary Canadian girl does, but we were not ordinary.
My sister and I had a close relationship. She was like a second mother to me. I looked up to her.
Little did I know, our days as two sisters growing up together would soon be over. Somaya had done very well in gathering money for the MKO. So as a reward, Somaya was invited to Camp Ashraf in Iraq, where the true MKO fighters received military training. They told her she would be able to visit our aunt's grave in Karbala too.
Since in Canada our work was done perfectly well, MKO took advantage of us. They realized my daughter Somaya was doing great. Back then, no one would want to join MKO because of the circumstances. So MKO tricked Somaya, who was the first underage, about 17 or 18, into going to Camp Ashraf.
On the day of her departure, Somaya was weighed down with presents for people she didn't even know. Gifts for husbands and sons, daughters and siblings at the MKO camp in Iraq. They said she would be sent back after 3 weeks. Dad says letting her go was his first big mistake, but I wonder if it was. That was 13 years ago. She never did come back, and from that moment on, the warmth of our home started draining away. Looking back on those days, I remember waking up in the morning in despair, an overpowering sadness taking over my entire being. Looking around our house, I felt an emptiness I couldn't understand. Losing my sister Somaya was one thing. Later, losing my brother Mohammed was another. But losing myself in the midst of all this was the hardest thing of all. Children are the most vulnerable human beings. Their trusting nature, lack of experience, and mental maturity renders them perfect candidates for abuse, abduction, and deceit. Hatred and evil are fuzzy concepts for them. And so trustingly, they walk into the heart of darkness with their own two feet. When Somaya didn't come back, they told my father that she had insisted on staying. They sent us a video of Somaya telling us she was okay, that she was happy where she was. But Dad refused to back down.
Somaya was too young. She was around 13 or 14 at the time and followed me blindly. She was sacrificed. And I, because I trusted MKO, let her go on a pilgrimage to Iraq and come back. Plus, the ticket that MKO showed me was a two-way ticket for 2 weeks. After that, they never gave her back. After I insisted on learning about her whereabouts, they showed me a tape on which Somaya said that she wanted to stay there.
The story of saving Somaya begins. My father's desperate attempts to bring his daughter back home. So, my brother decided to go to Camp Ashraf to suss out the situation and see if he and Somaya could come back together.
That was Dad's second big mistake, sending another child to that place.
But you know, at that point he was still in denial, still unsure about MKO's true intentions. In good faith, he let my brother go, a fatal mistake.
محمد پسر کوچیکم چون علاقه خیلی زیادی
Muhammad loved his sister so much and asked me for permission to go see her. If Sumaya wasn't doing well, he'd let me know, and if she was, he'd return home.
Now, two of my siblings were in a walled compound on the other side of the world. My dad pushed for them to be sent home. Over and over again, he begged the MKO to give his kids back, but the organization gave him the brush off every time. So with no way to turn, my dad decided to go visit my brother and sister in Iraq. It was just before the US invasion of Iraq in 2003. The MKO made it as difficult as possible, sending dad on different errands here and there.
Once they said they couldn't get a visa and asked me to wait for a week. They threw obstacles in my way, one way or another, so I would either run out of patience or money. They were totally aware of my situation. They knew I was a worker in Canada and had financial problems. They really hassled me.
But finally they gave in. They let us go see them. Flying to Iraq, I waited to see my sister and brother. It was a strange experience for me. I knew how I was supposed to feel. Happy to see my siblings after so long. But I don't know. There was this distance between us and this strange place where everyone wore the same dull colored uniform and the same haunting smile. My brother was sure of his feelings, though. He was happy and hopeful. He wanted to go able to go back with us. In the space of 3 years, my sister and brother were kept apart. During that time, they saw each other maybe 3 times, and then only under supervision. Muhammad asked dad to get him out, or he'd run away.
Muhammad said, "Dad, I can't stay here anymore and have decided to run away with Sumaya. But I can't get in touch with her. I can only see her when you come around." Between 1999 and 2002, just before the war, I'd only seen her 3 or 4 times. Even then, I tried hard to get permission, and eventually we were both accompanied by our commanders to see each other briefly for 15 minutes. Dad decided to deal with the situation diplomatically. He knew he had no bargaining power or leverage over the organization, so he would have to tread with care. So he decided to blend in, laughed and kidded around with the guys and girls. Sumaya was the first of many young teenagers lured into going to Camp Ashraf.
In the U.S., they would throw big parties for the teens that were being taken to Iraq, distracting the kids and fooling them to send them far away, to an isolated land in Iraq, to fight a war that had nothing to do with them. The MKO had decided that young people with clean slates were the best recruits. I remember the parties we had as kids, the birthday parties, goodbye parties, with food, music, and balloons. Here, I see the faces of victims. No one was taken by force. They were won over. They were coaxed into leaving by expert MKO recruiters. When we went to Camp Ashraf, Dad caught up with some of these kids, their stories told in fearful whispers, helped him realize what was really going on, what he had got himself into, what he had gotten us into, and where his kids might be heading. In Camp Ashraf, women and men are kept separate. Falling in love, marriage, and all that is forbidden. I've heard numerous stories of the tactics used to keep people like my sister in the camp. The motivational speeches, the classes held, and the audio speeches played back over and over in the sleeping quarters throughout the day.
اینها توی یه اسارتی قرار گرفته بودن. درسته یه جشنی گرفته بودن به عنوان عید فطر.
They were imprisoned even at celebrations. They were very depressed.
اینا توی یک اسارتی قرار گرفتن. یعنی حتی شما توی این فیلم
ها When Hamid Reza Najmi and Ahmad Dolati wanted to send a message, they just had no motivation.
اصلا هیچ روحی ندارن.
بچه ها سلام رضا من و احمد رضا زیا
همگی
سلام حالتون خوب باشه
دلمون
شده واسه تون دیگه چی بگیم مصرف
نادر سلام خسته نشو من رضا بهروزی هم یادت باشه سلام بهت میرسونم همینجور به فرزندی بکنم این عزیزم سلام میرسونم به بچه های سارا و انیس سلام میرسونم دارم خیلی برای کنتنگ شده خیلی دوستشم ببینم اتون
حقیقت آماده نبودم یعنی فکر میکنم بتونم همچین موقع پیش بکنم با این صحبت رو ولی همین که امکان پیش من دست باشی کسی میکنم حقیقت همین که شما رو یاد محمد افتار رو بود همین که صحبت شده بود دوستشم ببینم تا دقیقا یادی از گذشته باشه این که بودی خاطره زنده کنیم حقیقت نمیدون چی رو بگم الان اینجا
سلام به مامان و بابا سابق کوچولو امیدوارم که حالت خوب باشه همین چند لحظه پیش مامان بابای محمد رو دیدم خیلی سلام رسوندن امیدوارم که شما حالت خوب باشه امیدوارم که بتونید هر چه زودتر بیاین خودتون رو ببینم خیلی حرفا هست که دارم میخواستم بهتون بگم چه حضوری چه از طریق نامه اونم فرستادم ولی احتمالاً براتون نرسید
هر روز به فکرتونم به کمتونم ببینم چیکار میکنید چند وقت نامه اونم نفرستادم ولی دوباره میخوام چیز کنم به نامه فرستادم و من تلاش میکنم باید تماس تلفنی هم بگیرم بعد
بهش میگه من هر سال برشون کارت عید و اینا میدادم ولی جوابی نمیگرفتم بهش میگم که همین یعنی از اینکه مثلا 8 سال من میگم
راستش خیلی دلم میخواد خودتو بچه‌تو ببینم همسرت چطوره از بالا همش سلام برسون بعد نامه نوشتم
سعی جون دلم خیلی برات تنگ شده خیلی با هم بودیم از مادرش عکس دیگه از من عکس نگیر دیگه از کسی دیگه حرفم میزنم
نه دیگه اگه برام سرفم بذاری
بگو دیگه
نه
میگم سعید سلام بهتون خیلی سلام میرسونم واقعا دلم خیلی براتون تنگ شده.
سلام میکنم سعید و سارا خواهرزادهای کوچولوی من. چند وقت بود خبری ازتون نداشتم. فعلا آقای مصطفی محمدی اومده بود اینجا دیدن پسرش و چیز و بقیه ارتش بود. من اینجا با ایشون آشنا شدم و اخبار شما رو گرفتم. از این کلام درس بدم خانم خیلی خوشحال شدم. خیلی دوست دارم شما رو ببینم. جانم براتون خیلی تنگ شده بود.
خلاصه همه بچه‌ها اینجا سلام میرسونن، هر کسی چیز میکنه میگه به مامانت سلام میرسونم، حالا میگم نمیدونم چطوری ولی خب میرسونم. الان که فرصتش رو داشتم از طرف همه سلام میرسونم. امیدوارم که همه چی خوب پیش بره، موفق باشی و خیلی حال ما خیلی اینجا خوبه، همه جات خیلی خالیه. حالا نمیخوام زیاد چیز کنم که مثلا
دلتنگی
باشه. عشان بزرگ شده، خانم بزرگی شده، از من انقدر بلندتر شده قبول نیست.